Truth and Transcendence. Brought to you by Yes, You Now, with Catherine Llewellyn.
So here we are again, episode 52, Truth and Transcendence. Steve Hinke interviewing Catherine Llewellyn. Tables have turned, and this is part three of our three-part series. We'll see. So at the break, we had a minute to ponder the next step. And I think it's important that people do find out more about how you serve with the work you do. And, you know, I have not listened to all your podcasts, so I don't know if you're constantly sharing, quote unquote, your work with people. However, do tell us a bit more about what happens when we start to work together.
Thank you. And in fact, I haven't really talked about it in the podcast. And in fact, I've been told I really ought to. So this is perfect. So I've said we already have an initial conversation. We work out how we're going to work together, how often we're going to meet, how long for, et cetera. And then how it actually happens is a little bit of a mystery in a way, because what we're doing is we're holding on to the thing that they say they want at the end of it. And I'm holding on to the idea that this person probably has whatever they need already in them. It's just a question of accessing that and finding ways to utilize that and allow it to expand more fully.
Chipping away everything that is not David.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. By focusing on what is David. So not like the psychoanalysts or people like that who might say, let's focus on all the things that you're not and get rid of those. I'm like, no, ignore all those. And let's start by focusing on what's incredible about you to begin with. Now, for most people, that in and of itself is quite a big challenge because...
And I will say also that if they become successful at that, it can wipe out the need for 10 years of analysis in a day, in a week, in a year.
Yeah.
And people like you and me attract people who 10 years of analysis probably isn't going to do them any good.
Yeah,
because we all know if it ain't one thing, it's your mother. It's just to have to recogitate all that over and over and over ad nauseum is just an utter self-flagellating, narcissistic and neurotic approach for many, many, many people. Not that analysis isn't good for somebody.
Yeah.
However, when you meet somebody who is capable of helping you cut to the chase, I mean, you know, let's see, going over the same thing, ruminating it over and over and over and over ad infinitum until we finally say, well, okay, fuck it. Or getting on with the stuff that's working so we can enhance that and make life better faster.
Yeah, yeah.
And yet no less thorough.
Yeah, that's right. No less thorough, because as you're exploring that, people will naturally hit up against the reasons why they couldn't do that as fully on their own. You know, we hit up against those moments of self-doubt or self-censoring or self-criticism or lack of imagination or whatever those things may be. And some of those things do have roots way in the past. And sometimes we do take a little temporary excursion into the past and back again, but only because that's come up as relevant in the moment, not because that's the primary strategy in what we're doing. So the primary strategy...
Well, you know, people don't realize the path begins when you step on it.
Yeah.
We're all trying to stand back from the path and go, now, how do I create the path? How do I do it? I don't see the path. How do I do the path? Step on the thing.
Yes.
And start walking, and it magically appears.
Yes.
You know, this is a simple experiment, but I'm doing a gallery, and it's... you know, a 75-year-old building that I'm peeling off 75-year-old wallpaper and steaming off the glue. And it's like, well, you're going to paint it white like a gallery. And all of a sudden it's like, no, I'm not. And like colors just magically appear to the mind's eye. And all of a sudden I see a charcoal gray floor and a light yellow wall in an art gallery. I'm like, I think that'll look good. You know, it's like, but I'm already in the art of, in the act of, of doing, and it comes to you.
Yeah, that's right. And it, when you're in the lived experience, one of my guests who came on, brilliant guy, he said, he was talking about this philosophical approach, which says you only learn by doing, and particularly applied to leadership. You only learn how to become a really good leader by being a leader. You don't learn it any other way. But sometimes whilst you're doing that, it's very, very useful to have somebody helping you to reconnect with the bits of you that are strong already, that are brilliant, that are inspired, that are virtuous, that are loving and kind and everything else. So you can bring those to play readily and more quickly than you might do on your own.
Yeah.
And then also to have somebody there with you who helps you to learn the lessons the first time round. You know, people talk about that thing of, okay, you're 80 years old. Do you have 80 years experience, or do you just have the same year 80 times? You know, did you actually learn from each lesson as you went, or did you not learn and have to go around it over and over and over and over again? Which, God knows, we've all done that.
Look, there are very few people that can learn something the first time they make a mistake.
Yeah.
I mean, really, life is extremely long. You know, everyone's like, oh, this is the only lifetime I am ever going to live. I'm going to ascend after this lifetime. I've decided I'm going to end my relationship with Earth and get off the wheel of birth and death. Yeah. Not realizing that the minute you choose this place, you have no choice anymore.
Right.
The minute
That's
you
right.
decided I'm of Earth, your choices became zero. And the decision that you made of being here is going to go all the way through to the end when humanity actually learns, knows, demonstrates group conscious love as a group, as an event, as a living expression of a fulfilled humanity in relation with the kingdoms that are greater or beyond human and the kingdoms that are, you know, not lesser. You know, if we have a strata of mineral, vegetable, animal, human, the fifth, sixth, and there's seven kingdoms, humans in the middle. It's a long, long journey. So, you know, it appears to the real thinkers of the race that that arc of time we have is something like 311 trillion years of light long. Mm. And I think it's going to take humanity pretty much every single second of it to arrive at group conscious love.
Yeah.
Let alone arrive at what's the next step for me in my life and how can I improve it better. I will say this, that which improves life fastest is that which you do for others. That's what you do for a reason greater than yourself.
Well, doing for a reason greater than yourself, I think is right. And actually that thing, doing it for a reason that's greater than yourself might look from the outside as if you're doing it for some limited reason of your own.
Yeah.
And it's difficult sometimes to discern that. But you see, I think that comes back to the question of what is it that genuinely motivates us? What genuinely calls us? This is the thing that comes up a lot in the work, which is what do people feel called to? What do people feel their path is in terms of their calling? And can they hear themselves being called? And when they can hear it, do they follow that? And there's a kind of purity to that and a beauty and a joy to that that can perfectly well manifest in what might look like mundane running a business or whatever it is that you're doing. But it's that connection to the human spirit and to love and to heart and all of that that gives it the meaning, you know. And I think everyone who comes to work with me has touched that and touches it to whatever extent now in their life.
I'll remind you also, there was a time you called me up and said things had slowed down. And I think the suggestion was, well, just start at the, you know, one end of your list to, or the other and start calling some people and say, hey, I've got room. I haven't seen you in a while. Let me know if I can help you. And another thing that happens now, maybe even more than then people needed to be reminded. And I think you just bounced right back up. Mm. But now we're evolving so fast, but you've got a group of clientele or patients or you know, whatever it is in the line of work of the people that are listening to your podcast, not just you, Catherine, but the whole group here, whatever it is that you are successful at or have a breakthrough in. Oh, I've had a breakthrough in gardening. My trees this year are like the most magnificent I've ever seen them, or whatever. As you embody those breakthroughs in your moment-to-moment life, notice what happens. Oftentimes, people who are a part of your flock or a part of your clientele base or a part of your patient load or whatever reach out to you while you're having a breakthrough, or just as you come, as you crest the hill, it's like you get 3 phone calls or 8 requests because the world can sense your evolution and says, oh, I want that new thing. I want the new stuff. Yeah. And you really know you're cracking when people from a long time ago start contacting you saying,
absolutely.
You know,
yeah. Hey, I mean, I had an example of this in relation to someone else, not me, because that's absolutely right, what you're saying. And many's the time in my life, I've thought, right, I want to shift things. I want to have more going on perhaps in relationship to the world, et cetera. So what do I want to clean up in myself? What do I want to release in myself? And I might be doing something at home, cleaning out a cupboard or something, and the phone rings. You know, but I had an interesting one recently. A woman contacted me, and she's a healer. And she was talking to one of her clients and saying, I want to do a particular shift to go to the next level in my healing. And this client said, call Catherine. And this client's never met me, but this client's very good friends with someone else who came to me, right? And this woman contacts me, and we have our conversation about what we're going to do and how much it's going to cost. And she has a bit of difficulty sorting out her logistics, and she gets it sorted. She places the booking. She sets up the subscription. And then a week later, she says, Catherine, I know I've made the right decision because things are coming towards me, and I haven't even started the program.
There you go. Providence moves too. Once you decide, providence moves too in all manner of things, great and invisible and visible and tiny. Show up to become a part of it.
That's right.
You know,
the power of the human
will. You can't have a brick wall without mortar.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So, I mean, I'm always in awe of the extraordinary transformational capacity in every human being. And I just come from that assumption to begin with. And that, to most people, that's a new thing, because all of these people have worked with coaches before. And what they're used to is somebody helping them work out their weaknesses, helping them focus on fixing those, and then helping teach them new stuff. And I don't do any...
Tell me things that I can employ.
Yeah. Rather than, okay, great. So right now you're running this business and it is doing pretty good. And you've got people that love you. You know, you've got this and that going on in your life. You're healthy. How did you do that? And they're, well, you know. No, how did you do that? What was it amazing in you that allowed that to happen? Mm. And they're not used to that. It's like rewiring their own whole psyche.
And you see, the tree grows from inside. It grows by splitting the bark. You know, bark splits open and grows the tree wider and taller, wider and taller. We grow by splitting open. We grow by breaking open.
That's right. And people have done that numerous times in their life before they got to me, but they forgot that they did it. I think you said something on our episode before where you said enlightenment's great until 5 minutes later, and then you've got to go and get enlightened again. And
you got to forget it. Yeah. If you don't forget it, you walk around with the vanity of a singular enlightenment versus forgetting it and having 400.
That's right. Exactly. And people forget. You know, and I said to someone the other day, I had someone on, a guest, who is a brilliant libertarian economist and a life coach. And he was talking, we were talking about speaking out and free thinking and courageous speech. And he was saying all this incredible stuff, you know. And I said, so can you remember when you first started doing that? Because I said, guaranteed when you were born, they didn't lift up this baby and say, hey, guess what? You've got a free thinker. Right? As a baby. No.
I was that person as a baby. And the mantra, everything that came at me was, where did you come from?
Yeah, but you know, everybody, you may have been that, but the doctors don't know that. They know is they've got a baby.
And it's like, where did you come from? So the world either way, the world doesn't necessarily know how to relate to you.
Yes,
and you have to figure out how to relate to it and unfold. And that's really the magic of working with others, not just this isn't an infomercial for your practice, a little bit. However, what it is an infomercial for is for everybody to find out how to be or how to unfold the luminary of yourself, how to be the being that finds their way in your own life. And we haven't given a lot of clues. We haven't really dropped any breadcrumbs on how to be the person that finds your own way to your own life. And it's mostly because we don't know how. I mean, you have to ask a direct question for the invocation to evoke the response. And the person to ask the first question to is yourself. You know, it's like, what do I do now? Oh my God, what do I do now? Where do I go from here? Just by putting that out of just speaking it forth, the ethers will talk to you. The ethers will give you information.
Yeah.
There's a thing in esoteric vision called probability lines. And people have numerous probability lines. You don't have one probability line, or it wouldn't be a probability. It would be an infinite actuality. So these probability lines, sometimes they're many, and sometimes they're crossed, and sometimes they borrow things from each other. And sometimes they lead to meeting certain remarkable beings, and sometimes they don't. And to just gaze into your probability lines, to take, I don't even know what the hell that is. What's he talking about? To just imagine that you have probability lines, that you can gaze and see something that you haven't even known was there, or that you can look at your name and find out what it is numerologically. You know, C is a 3. You know, K is a 2, E is a 5, Y is a 7, and put your numbers together and then see what it adds up to, and then what does that mean, and then ponder into the dynamics of energy. And now we have astrology, and we have astrocartography, which is the day you were born and the place you were born, set up a blueprint map. And there's all these different things out there, and tarot. All these things that are out there can be abused. They can be kept in the mundane. They can be used ridiculously. They can cause you pain. They can cause you suffering. Or you can allow yourself to just let them be there, but not necessarily so mundanely defined, so that you can catch the essence. There's an essence of what number and space and place and time is. So you kind of live in the living cosmology of it versus the thought form based cosmology. And out of that, you go, oh, it's time for me to go to nursing school, or it's time for me to call so-and-so and have a session. These are some simple, simple ways that I know of that can help somebody start growing fast enough or deep enough or profound enough, have an awakening enough where they go, I think it's time for me to listen to other podcasts. It's time for me to take a course. It's time for me to take a mentor. It's time for me to have a coach.
Yeah. Or dance. You know, dance is another great thing I'm really into. And, you know, I've done a lot of sort of what we call conscious dance, you know, where you're just following your own whatever. And I love that because it's not planned, it's not predictable, it's not worked out or rational. I just recently read, I don't know if you've read any Isaac Asimov, have you?
30 years ago.
Okay, well, I've got a collection. I've just been rereading it because I like it. And one book he wrote is called The End of Eternity. And in this particular story, what's happened is way, way, way off in the future. And humanity has found a way of doing some sort of temporal thing whereby they can step into a kind of tunnel that runs alongside time. And they can go ahead in time and back in time and something other. And they can observe what's going on in all these timelines. And you talked about probabilities, which is what triggered me talking about this. And they can look at all the probabilities of things that are going on and what's likely to happen in several centuries down the line. And what could we do, what they call a minimal change, to bring about a maximum positive change? Mm. And they become incredibly sophisticated. And then somebody discovers that since they started doing this eternity thing, or shortly after they started doing it, human beings stopped evolving. They stopped evolving because these guys were interfering and preventing anything really risky from happening, keeping things comfortable, keeping things safe for humanity. And humanity just starts dumbing down. And so one of the characters goes back in time and does something and destroys it so that eternity disappears. And the last line of the book was, that was the end of eternity and the beginning of infinity.
Mm.
And I just love that.
Yeah.
I love that because, you know, life is infinity when we remember that there are infinite possibilities and we are infinitely possible.
Well, and that puts you from entrapment or engagement of a kind into freedom.
Yeah.
And one of the most terrifying things for a human being is freedom. If we, people don't realize that a great deal of people live in a prison. I live in my own type of prison, I suppose. And when if you've had a long-term pain, a long-term trauma, a long-term disease, a long-term confusion, a long-term sense of, you know, depression or awful, these kinds of things have a tendency to reverberate in such a way where you live in a bit of a prison or a lot of them.
Yeah.
And if that prison burned down today, only a small percentage of us would go, all right, then, and walk on. The rest would be like, well, they're coming with the three meals, right? And we still all have our beds, right? And, you know, we get up at 6 and walk in the yard, right? And then it's lights out at 10, right? Because we can't fathom the freedom. It's too terrifying. In fact, some people, like in Shawshank Redemption, the movie, you know, the guy's freed and he hangs himself because he can't tolerate the freedom.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want to hurt anyone else to get thrown back in prison. So he just ends his life. And freedom is extraordinarily hard because there's all these mechanisms, I guess, in the mind, in the mental field, in the emotional body, in the physical, in the spiritual, that when you pass through these little layers, different kinds of platitudes and seemingly truthful yet not absolute sayings come forth, like life is empty and meaningless.
Yeah.
A lot of people take drugs and have half-baked spiritual breakthroughs and half-baked tantra breakthroughs, especially in their teens and 20s, and come to the recognition that life is empty and meaningless. And because of that, they commit suicide.
Yeah.
It's too much. And then when you hang in there and don't commit suicide, and I'm as anti-suicide, anti-killing as it possibly could be, thou shalt not kill is the one commandment that is above all others, in my personal opinion, especially yourself. All evolution takes place in form. So if there's something you don't like about the form, keep it alive so it can possibly transform into something else, because once it's dead, it has to incarnate again to work on it. So. Yeah. There's an old bodhisattva saying that thou shalt not kill even the most horrible thing because it could be on its upward way.
Yeah.
And you want it to continue on its upward way so it's no longer a horrible thing.
Yeah.
And so when you break through life is empty and meaningless, you get to, and it's empty and meaningless, that it's empty and meaningless, which another group of people jump off the bridge wrongfully, until you grow past that into the next level, which is, oh, I love myself as I am. I love life as it is. And then that feels like a platitude. And then you sit there and coast on that for a while. And then you realize that isn't enough. Then you break through to whole brain synchrony. And I love everyone and everything as it is. And I'm a part of all and everything. I am all and everything. And then we hang out there in our ashramic vibe for a while. And you realize, well, shit, that isn't even enough.
Yeah.
And then you go on and on and on. And then you find out that freedom is a higher law than love. But you have to go through love to get to freedom. So many people want to go jump straight to freedom and they can't. They can't make the climb because you got to go through love to get to it.
Yeah, yeah.
And everything is progress by mistake, trial and error, trial and error, trial and error. And then a moment of, wow, that really worked. That really served somebody. That really gave me a sense of belonging, a sense of, boy, am I glad I'm alive for this vibe. I just discovered the color blue and how to use it. Or I just helped my neighbor build a bicycle so he could have a bicycle. And as a matter of fact, I bought it for him because I knew he didn't have enough money to get one for himself. And on and on, you know, from simple pleasures to very complex things, like trying to be prime minister of England without having the other 50% of the country call you names all the time and point at you because you had a party. You know, it's like so crazy. We have such bigger problems than did we have a party that 20 people attended.
Yeah.
That's all Friday. Every government has its illnesses and its benefits, but we need to learn how to find the gifts that I'm certain that you bring to people. Be more revered and more honored and become a more constant and continuous part of society. I did little interview with you because I'd like to see you be busier. I'd like to see more people take advantage of the gift that you have. I would like to see more people at the highest and lowest levels and all in between find out the benefits of working with someone like you. And to the point where, you know, you are, actually said, I'm too busy. However, Mary's great for what's going on. And Jean, she's great. And Bob, he's the right guy for you. So that, you know, it's almost like it becomes a company that assists people to find the right people to help them go, oh, this is really helpful. I wake myself up and then I start walking and start rowing and start flapping my wings. And then, oh, the next step shows up of what to do. And then the people like you are able to go, yeah, great. Now that you're no longer, now that you figured out how to jump off the limb and learn to fly before you hit the ground, now we can do something with you.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And that whole web networking thing you mentioned is fantastic as well. That's another thing. At this point in my life, I know so many incredible people that work with other people who I can just call up and say, right, this person could do with your kind of help. Can I give them your number? You know,
have you thought about doing workshops like at 42 Acres or anything?
I have run a lot of workshops over the years. And at the moment I'm just doing some quite kind of low key events here in Wales. Mm-hmm. And these are, I'm doing two. One is called Being Space, and it's just a day where people come and we do some dance and some lying on the floor and relaxing and some sitting in circle chatting.
How about going live for that too? Putting that on Facebook Live or something like that so that people who live farther away could make like a PayPal deposit of a fee to attend, but they can do it from their living room.
Yeah, that particular event, that wouldn't work because the intimacy of it needs to be private for that to really work. But I do have friends that do run workshops on Zoom with conscious dance. I personally chose not to do that because I want to be in the room physically.
All right. Well, then we'll have to make a trip to Wales for them.
Totally. Yeah. Please come over. My next one is in 2 weeks' time. No, those are amazing. And I also do some Saturday morning sessions for people who don't want to spend a whole day. But I've done a lot of like longer workshops, really exploring some really deep, interesting stuff.
So you could do a 2-day or a 3-day or something at a retreat center?
Yeah. Yeah. If they were happy.
Because I think people are willing to just, you know, leave the house now and go out and mingle.
Yeah. I'm actually in the process of working out some collaborations with some amazing guys who also do conscious dance work, where we're going to be doing some of these amazing like 3-day events, which are about human connection. And, you know, conscious exploration and all that kind of thing. So there's all kinds of things kind of in the works.
Great. And how would you say England is doing, England and Wales, Scotland and Ireland, if even Ireland counts as an island over there, how would you say there that your little part of the world is doing as far as getting back active and like, you know, the different places where things happen in Cornwall and in London and in all around the area? Are people going back to St. James's Church for lectures? Are people,
I don't know what's happening in London, but I do know round here, a lot of things are going on. There are a lot of people in the UK at the moment who are doing kind of underground events and who've done them throughout the lockdown. And I'm not going to say who those people are because I don't want them to be arrested. You know, but found ways of doing it so that people could still do this.
Are they arresting people for doing live events now?
People have been arrested for all kinds of things.
Masks being worn every day in Wales?
In some places, but not in others. I went to the dentist the other day in South Wales, and they were wearing masks. And
I don't blame them in a doctor's office.
But anyway, and he said that the other dental practice where he works, 10 miles away, they're not wearing masks. So there's a lot of inconsistencies. A lot of people are getting back into doing stuff. And an awful lot of retreat centers have actually gone bust, which is very sad. So it's all kind of in flux at the moment. But there's definitely, I'd say, an upwelling of people who are getting more and more connected to the idea of making sure that they get what they need and that they help other people get what they need.
Along those lines, as we wrap up, being how I am, I'm going to encourage you to consider doing, you know, more groups through the Zoom or through whatever, so that people can attend your Saturday morning workshops from different parts of the world. And they might even be able to attend your dance thing from different parts of the world. I'm just inviting you to stretch so that, and I'm inviting your constituents, your clientele that are listening to this podcast to say, hey, you know, I listen from France and I would love to come to the Saturday all day dance event and stay home. You know, is it 50 quid? Is it 80 quid? Is it, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And because it will be locked to the, it won't be semi-private or public. It will be absolutely private. I have people doing Zoom links on Zoom Pro where they've got exactly 62 people on the Zoom link. And I got another guy who does 2,200 people on Zoom links at a time. So he's got 8 television sets with like 125 people on each television set. And then when somebody speaks, they come forward. And when they stop speaking, they go back. It's really interesting. Okay. Anyway, I invite you to look at more ways that more people could take advantage of your gift.
Thank you.
I do it because of the gift.
Thank you.
Well, let's wrap up. Is there anything final that you wish that you could say to everybody who tunes into your podcasts?
Wow. Yeah. Well, just keep tuning in and tell your friends and put reviews, because everyone tells me they love it, but no one ever writes a review.
Yes.
So, you know, if you do put reviews.
Let me say this. A friend of a friend started doing this for between 90 seconds and 7 minutes a day on Facebook. And 1 year later, they had 25,000 friends. They got 1,500 to 2,500 likes per day. And they got 700 comments and shares. It's the comments and shares that elevate the process.
Yeah.
When people comment, share, a heart is way more powerful than a thumbs up. When people love something, if you just say that to the world on the website, on the page, on the Instagram, on the Facebook, wherever the person is publishing it, it goes such a long ways to having, you know, a wider audience.
Exactly.
And that's really what we're doing here, is to try to help you get an even wider audience so people can learn a little bit more about you, the person speaking, who they love to hear her voice. They love to hear what she has to say. They love the people that she invites on. They love it when she speaks all by herself. And maybe they gained a little piece of why from today.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was our goal, you know, and if we didn't get enough of that, then say, hey, let's interview you some more. And that means now do you, the public, are interviewing Catherine by sending in a question or two, and then she can answer that as part of an ongoing interview.
Yeah. I love it when people write in. It's just fantastic.
Yeah.
So even if they say I disagree with what you said, it's still very interesting because then I can work with that.
Please disagree. And also you said you didn't get to talk about your personal life. So I would say if anybody wants to know about your personal life,
they can't.
That should be the questions that they write in, and you'll have to start your next podcast with, well, and Bob said, you know, who are you sleeping with these days?
Thank you, Steve. It's been so wonderful having you as guest host. It's been just really great fun.
To be the person that interviewed you, really.
Brilliant. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Truth and Transcendence, the regular weekly podcast from Yes, You Now with Catherine Llewellyn. For more information, head to yesyounow.today/podcast.